Last week, Scott was talking about troubles. He showed us a bunch of headlines, remember? The troubles, but that there's hope in God, that we have hope in Him, that we have hope in a plan that God has. It's interesting when you look at the world and you look at the things that are happening in the world and the decisions that are made. You know, really, most of the big decisions that come out by governments, by nations, by peoples, is all about trying to deal with the fact that human beings sin. We've kind of messed this world up, haven't we? It doesn't feel like it's getting any better. Now, mankind does not look to God for the problems. And this has been our problem from the very beginning. We haven't looked to God for the plan that says, this is how to make it better. So what do? Well, communism. That will be the new frontier of how to make everything better. Right? If we could just make it all equal. If everybody did their share, and everybody equally did their share, and we shared everything equally as much, and we were all equal, and just lived in communion with one another, we would have it. But did that materialize? No. It didn't work because of sin. Some people were harder workers. Some people were lazier workers. So the hard worker looks at the lazy worker and says, wait a minute, he's not doing much and he gets an equal share of whatever we do together? You know, Farmer Bob goes out and plants his crops and he does a real good job, right? And he's thinking, I'm going to bring a huge harvest in. And Farmer Jim over here, he's like, we're all going to share it anyway. Come on, I need a social life. So he doesn't work so hard. Farmer Jim doesn't work so hard. So they bring it all together, and now you're going to tell me they're going to share it equally? Well, Farmer Bob's like, wrong. That's not working for me. I'm not very motivated to work real hard so this guy can have a social life. You see how it gets strange. So, hey, capitalism. Let's have capitalism. Will that solve the world's problems? Give people freedom. Give people liberty of economics and commerce. Well, sure, it can provide that. But what happens if people are immoral or greedy or willing to use and abuse other people in a system of capitalism? Is that going to solve the world's problems? No. So what man does, think about it, different forms of government, you know, well, we need a dictatorship, we need a tyranny, we need a rebellion, we need this, we need that. What will make it work? Man keeps trying to figure out, what about an economic system? We have to have, if we did this economic system, it'd all be better. Or if we did this one, it would be better. Which one makes more sense? Is Marxism good? No. But what will make it work? What about a system of religion? What about theocracies? What about religion? What if we just got rid of religion? What if we got rid of discrimination? What if we got rid of rules? What if we got rid of all of it? Would anarchy solve our problems? You see, there is a fundamental flaw that we humanly have. We've got huge problems. We have huge crises that we face in this world. And we're still trying to humanly figure it out. When all along the Creator is saying, I've got a plan. Who wants to join me? I've got a way to solve all the world's problems. Do you want to join me? You realize this is the message that I hope each of you has accepted. That you believe in a message, that you have a dream, that you have a vision of living in a place of peace. Of living in a place free from the ills that this world suffers from. There is a way to peace. There is a way to life. There is a way, as we were talking about last week, to stop abortion, to stop murder, to stop genocide, to stop child slavery, to stop the violence of sin in this world. There is a way. There is a way. And it's called the gospel. It's the gospel. Now, who can tell me? Who can tell me? Kids, if you raise your hand, you'll get called on first. Because I'm asking for a little participation today. Got the whiteboard here. So let's be alert. Scott, no. You're not getting called on until the very end. But hey, kids, if you're listening, and I'd like you to listen if you could, who can tell me? Who knows what the word gospel means? Does anybody know? What is that word gospel? When I say gospel, does anybody know what that means? Eric?
Good news.
Good news. Very good. Very good. Good news. The gospel basically means good news. Good news. All right. Excellent job, Eric. Okay. Now, what is the good news? What is the gospel? Now, before I call on you, Andrew, you're going to be first. So I saw your hand pop up. I think this is one of the most important and fundamental questions you should be able to have an answer to right away. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a friend who was going to a church meeting, and this was a leadership meeting. And in the leadership meeting, it started out, and these were people who had volunteered, who had been Christians, who had been baptized, who were walking the walk, they were involved in Bible studies at their church. About 19 to 20 people sitting around in a circle, and the person leading it said, "What is the gospel?" And nobody answered. Now, I want you to think about this in a fundamental basis, because if you can't answer this question, we've got to start all over again. Because this question is the question and answer we must have. Everything in your life truly should be motivated by the good news of Jesus Christ, the things that we're taught. What is the good news? Okay? Do you agree with me on that? If you don't have this, if this isn't the motivating thing. So when I hear of 19, 20 people in a room and nobody, though they've been growing up in Christian churches, going to the Christian churches, attending Bible studies, they can't give an answer to this. And the guy says, "Well, I guess this is where we have to start. How are you going to be leading and mentoring people if you can't even give an answer to this question?" But we should all know this. We should all be ready to give an answer of the hope that is within us. And the whole hope is the gospel. The answer to the problems that this world faces and that we personally face. How do we deal with sin in us? How do we deal with sin and evil in this world? How do we go to the utopia of God? The place of peace. All right, so what is the gospel? Andrew, you had your hand up first. So what is the gospel, Andrew?
Jesus dying for us.
Jesus dying for us. So we're going to put that up here. Right inside, right here. Jesus dying. That's a great answer. Because he had to die for us, right? Anybody else? What is the gospel? Eric.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming. Very good. He's coming, that he did come or that he is coming?
He is.
He is going to be coming, isn't he? Okay, so we're going to write that right here. Ethan. Eternal life. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Nice. Okay, let's put that right down here. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? What is the gospel? Terry.
That he rose again.
He rose from the dead. So Jesus died for us, Jesus rose from the dead. Good. Bill.
He's going to establish his kingdom forever.
Establish his kingdom forever. Right here. Jesus is going to establish his... I was like, it was a false draw there. I can't tell. Was that real or was that, I just have a reaction, It was like, ooh. Sarah. Salvation for everybody who believes in Christ. Let's put that right here. Lynn.
He forgave us our sins.
Put that right here. Forgiveness. Okay. Greg.
He died for us.
God's plan for reconciliation with him.
God's plan for reconciliation with him. Right here. Terry.
That he came.
Jesus came. Rosemary.
Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right here. What is the gospel? Any other answers? Remember, it's good news. What is the good news? Marty.
Twofold answer. One, we are children of God. And number two, we're going to see God face to face.
Awesome. We're children of God. And we'll see Him face to face.
Amen.
Face to face. Yeah, I like that one. Brad.
The recognition that we're sinners and we need a Savior.
That we need a Savior. Okay. Savior. Yes, Virginia.
Jesus Christ is the only one who has the authority to open the book of life that says we will have eternal life.
Oh, awesome. Jesus Christ, the only one that can open the book to eternal life that says we'll have eternal life. Andrew.
To allow us to be able to repent.
To be able to repent. Marty.
There's going to be a judgment day.
It's going to be a judgment day. Put that right here. Judgment day. Yes, Denise.
We're
going
to rule and reign with Him.
Rule and reign with Christ. The saints rule and reign with Christ. Actually, let's put that. Let's put rule and reign right. It's kind of a...
You want a crossbow?
Yeah. I saw three hands over here. Who had them up?
A couple hands.
Wait, so did you have a hand back there that I didn't see?
Then I have a question. Was that a yes to go across yes, the yes, column?
Yes,
rule
yes, yes. Wait a minute. Who hasn't...
Gift of the Holy Spirit.
Gift of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, it's going to be kind of tough, right? All right, so gift of the Holy Spirit right here. Okay, thank you, Joanne. All right, Carolyn.
Two things. He became sin for us.
Became sin. Right here.
And then the other thing is he became our high priest. Well, he opened the way to the Father.
High priest and opened the way to the Father, right? Under that, yep. Wow, this is awesome. Dale.
New heavens and a new earth.
New heavens and a new earth. Woohoo! Yeah, that is good news. Right here. We're keeping Stephanie cranking up here. This is good. This is good. All right, Eddie.
That we won't taste of the second death.
That we won't taste of the second death. We the saints, we won't taste of the second death. Right here. Oh, Christian. Jesus is the Son of God. Awesome. Oh, sorry. Bill.
I'm
going to
shooting because I want to fill the first blank in.
Yeah, you
have to take a guess. All right. That we have new brothers and new sisters with this, the Holy Spirit that He gave to us. We have a
brotherhood of believers.
Brotherhood of believers.
Oh. Good try, Dale.
I'm praying for that one too. He's the creator. He created us for a purpose.
He's the creator, number one.
Creator.
Final Jeopardy
answer. Carolyn.
He had a plan from the foundation of the world.
Lynn.
He gives us the Holy Spirit, which empowers us to overcome.
Yep, got that one already.
Part of it is the power of God to do all this.
The power of God.
Yeah.
If you don't have
power over death, you have
power over everything, right? I think this all is power, but that's a very good answer. Scott.
That God will tabernacle with men and that He will be all in all.
Oh, wow. God tabernacles with men and He is all in all.
Dale.
Restoration of Israel.
Restoration. Restoration of Israel. Yes, Andrew. We don't have to make sacrifices anymore. Well, you mean animal sacrifices, right? Do we have to make sacrifices? Yes. We have to lay down our life for others, right? So that's a big sacrifice. That's one the parents really enjoy too, right? Garrett.
There'll be no more marriage.
No more marriage. Just put that. I don't know if that's good. Is that that's the good news? You're saying this is. Virginia.
Somebody's in hot water. Yeah.
In the kingdom of God, after Christ hands over the earth to God, the Father, then there'll be no night there.
Right.
Forever day.
Right. Forever day. That's the last one.
So few.
Oh. Where are you going with this now?
No tears, no crying.
No tears, no crying. What else? No sorrow.
No bad dogs.
No bad dogs. Outside the kingdom are all dogs. If only the Sharpens had learned this lesson. No death. At least they're not letting them in, right? No death. No pain, no sorrow, no tears. Christian.
He is grateful.
Pardon me?
He is grateful.
He is grateful? He is grateful. Explain what you're thinking.
I think he's grateful over us. Oh,
yes. Very good. He is very grateful over us, isn't he? Let's put that right here.
He's grateful for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else?
He
existed before the world began. Let's put that in this one and this one. Virginia.
He crumbles down, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those that are alive and remain shall be cut up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord.
All right, we're going to put 1 Thessalonians 4 for that one, because we're not going to write all that. So right here, 1 Thessalonians 4. Joanne.
The plan of repentance leading to baptism.
Oh, okay, good. The plan of repentance and baptism. Well, did I get that right? Baptism, yeah. Virginia.
All of this is based on the deepest love of our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. This whole thing is good news of God's love, right? All of it. Scott.
Because of his perfect, sinful life. Because of his perfect, sinless life in the flesh, he was able to be our perfect sacrifice.
Okay. Eddie.
We are a new creation.
We are a new creation.
He's called us to holiness.
Holiness right here.
He's alive.
He's alive. Yes. We'll put that there too. Billy.
That we get the fruit of his experience even while we're alive now. You know, in other words, even though
we produce fruit right now.
Correction and all that, we get to have him now. We have that comforter. We get to walk in his light and knowledge and so forth now.
Right? Yes. So we produce fruit right now.
Fruit now.
Oh, John.
God loved us,
right? John 3:16, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's awesome. God loved us. Loves us. Put it right there. Here. Oh, good. He's going to subdue all enemies under his feet.
And the last one is death.
The last enemy to be destroyed is death.
Satan, he will bound Satan forever.
Satan bound and death destroyed. Who said that? Dale? Did Bill have? One of you have your hand. Okay. Okay.
Maybe more for number one.
Oh.
Scott.
He is the Alpha and the Omega.
Yes. This is kind of the existed before the world, but we'll put Alpha and Omega here.
You want to
say and here.
Uh-huh. Put Alpha there.
Oh, no. We got more to go.
Put Alpha there and Omega.
Anything else? Okay. We all answered out? Anybody? Greg.
Well, he created us and he preordained works for us to do.
He created us and preordained works for us to do. So, well, we got creator there and just put he foreordained. Right?
All powerful.
Okay. I can go in one, too. Yes.
Maybe it's already implied that he became as we are and suffered as we did.
Yes, he became in the flesh, didn't he? Yes, right there. Scott.
Of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Of his government and peace, there will be no end. Well, just put, establish his kingdom forever, right? Okay. So, that's a lot of good news, isn't it? There's a lot of things that have been done. There's a lot of things yet to be done, right? Just having rest, right? Just having rest and peace.
Rest and peace.
Right? That's a pretty huge thing, right? Rest and peace. All right, let's look at these things. So we have this creator who had a plan from the foundation of the world. He existed before it began. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He foreordained all these things. All powerful. And he had a plan for rest and peace from the very beginning. Right? He died for us. Sent Jesus to die for us. Reconciliation. Right? Romans 5. What's it say? We are reconciled by his death. Right? He came to be a savior. Perfect life in the flesh, perfect sacrifice. God loves us. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? Think that God would love us. Jesus rose from the dead. Not only did he die, he rose from the dead. Be able to repent. That's kind of an interesting thing, isn't it? Because one of the things that happens in this world, right, with governments, what do they try to do? They call it legislating morality, right? If we can make the right rules, we could solve the world's problems. Is that true? False. Ooh, sorry. False. False. The right rules don't change the flesh, do they? God gave a perfect law. Can we agree on that? God didn't mess that up. But what did he say in the book of Hebrews? Where was the problem with the covenant that he made? Who knows? The flesh. The problem was with us. It wasn't with God's law. God's law is perfect, right? The Apostle Paul said, God's law, right? Holy, just, right? The problem was with us. To be able to repent. Baptism. To be baptized. To lay down your life with Christ. To be in his death. In his death. Immersed in his death. Holiness. He's alive. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Right? That's an awesome thing. That this flesh could somehow be changed. That we could obey God. That we have a hope of glory. That we're the children of God. That he gives us the Holy Spirit. And by such we receive an adoption.
How many of you are happy that you have received the adoption to be called the children of God? That is awesome, isn't it? That God says, you are mine, you're my child. You're an heir of me, God our Father says, and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's a fantastic thing, isn't it? To be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. The brotherhood of believers. To be a new creation in Him. How about this? Jesus is coming to establish His kingdom forever, when the saints will see Him face to face and the saints will rule and reign with Him. When we have a promise that those who come, those who are raised when Jesus returns, won't taste of the second death. That He's going to come and subdue all enemies under His feet. How about that? Is that awesome? Is that good news? Do you look for that? Is this a motivator in your life to realize there are solutions to the problems, that God has a plan for your life, for my life, and for everybody in this world? These are things worth celebrating, aren't they? How about this? Forgiveness. Just such a simple word, isn't it? And yet, that word goes so deep. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. How penetrating is forgiveness? The forgiveness that God gets for you, where He removes your sins as far as east is from the west. Is there anybody in this room not grateful for forgiveness? It's just one of the most liberating, relieving, unburdening things that happens in life when you realize God has forgiven you, and when you are able to receive forgiveness from another or give forgiveness to another who needs it. It's an awesome thing, isn't it? Jesus became sin. Jesus became sin. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Jesus is high priest. He opened the way to the Father. Think about that. The access had been cut off because of, who knows why we were cut off? Sin. Sin cut us off. By becoming sin, Jesus took that out of the picture. He made the way holy again by His own blood. He cleansed and sanctified the way into the holiest of all, where we can now go before our Father. And as Denise said, we can pray and ask and beseech God for things. And when we beseech in faith, it's according to His will, He will hear and answer us. We have that promise because of this. That's really awesome news, isn't it? We're not alone here. We're not just subject to the world. We have God on our side. Right? The restoration of Israel. And really, we could include the restoration of people to this earth. Because who rules on this earth right now? Who's the God of this world today? Satan. Satan. Very good. Satan. Not very good that he is. Just good that you guys know the answer to that. Right? Because God has let humanity choose who the God of this world is right now. And it's not the God of heaven and earth. Most reject the God of heaven and earth. And that's why we have a society so messed up. Because there's only one way that leads to life. Right? What did Jesus say? Yes, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there is a narrow path, right? And how many find that narrow path?
Few.
But broad is the way. Wide is the gate that leads to destruction. How many go that way?
Many.
So you realize, as God looks at the planet Earth, and God looks at the whole world, His desire is for all to come to Him, but there is a way that leads to life. There's only one way. And one word, love. It's the way of love. It's the way of outgoing care and concern for other people. First for God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And second for your neighbor as yourself. It's the only way that'll work. Because once you stop caring about others and thinking of yourself, what happens? Sin. Sin comes out of your lust for desire for wrong things. When you lust so much that you don't care about who you hurt. That's what allows people to murder. To steal. To cheat. To lie. To rob, to kidnap, right? To pillage, to bring about war. Because they don't care who they hurt as long as they get what they want. The good news is there is a way consecrated by which we go to God following our Lord Jesus Christ. And He restores us. He grants eternal life. Salvation for all who would believe. Jesus came and dwelt with us. That's kind of awesome too, isn't it? Emmanuel, God in the flesh. What does it say in John 1? That the Word became flesh and He dwelt among us. Or He tabernacled among us. That we were in, that He became like us. He took on this body, this shell of flesh for a time. Jesus, open the book of eternal life. Only He has the right to do that. Only Jesus has the right to open the books by which all things happen, open the seals, and the books that He takes, right? Revelation chapter 20, you come kind of to the end of the story in Revelation 20. He opens books of life, and it says that all the dead, small and great, of every nation, those who died and were in the ground, those who were in the sea, all come before Him, and it says they were all judged out of the things written in the books. And it said, whoever's name was not written in the book of life, He cast into the lake of fire. There's a final judgment for all. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. The Son of God, Jesus, is the Son of God, and He came. Fruit now. Bill talked about fruit now. Isn't it an amazing thing that when you go through the steps of believing in your Savior, believing in God as Creator, and that He's alive, that we have a Savior, that we repent, that we receive of the Holy Spirit, that there's kind of this time of a judgment in our lives, which subduing all enemies under the feet, that we have this time of forgiveness, that what comes after all of that is a fruit in your life? What did Jesus say? You did not choose me, I chose you. That you would bear fruit and that your fruit would remain. Do you realize when you accept God's foreordaining of you, when you believe in the sacrifice that Jesus made, when you believe in the resurrection of the dead and you give your life to Him through repentance and baptism, when you receive of the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you, by the power of God, put down enemies in your life, when you receive the forgiveness and the healing that only comes through Jesus Christ, that what will be produced in your life is amazing fruit. Amazing fruit for God. Holy fruit. Precious fruit. Because you give of yourself to God. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And Satan bound. And when there is no more death, and when Satan is bound, you have a place of no tears, no crying, no pain, no death, and no sorrow. You have a pretty awesome place to live. How many would like to live in a kingdom like that? Does that inspire you? Does that message of hope say, I want to be a part of this? Because if you can't get excited about that, wake up! Because how can you live in a world where you know there are so many tears, there is so much crying, there is so much pain? Scott gave us some of those articles. Remember he put the headlines? I don't enjoy reading the newspaper. You know why? Because every day I got to read about somebody kidnapping a little kid and doing something he shouldn't do to the kid. I can't stand reading that. Somebody got murdered. Somebody got killed. Somebody did this or that. Do you like living in this place? Or do you say, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger here. I'm searching for a better country. This is not my eternal home. Do you call out to God when you're in the secret place and in your prayer and say, God, I don't belong here. I'm just an ambassador for You, for this kingdom, for this world, for this life. I'm all about the no more death and sorrow. And this world just doesn't get your way. Do you know why God sends forth His those who believe and says, "Go you therefore into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature"? Because He wants everybody to know that this is His way. You hear people on the news, right? You ever hear Larry King on CNN, right? There's a big national tragedy. Why would God allow this? Why would God allow this?
Because we chose it.
Exactly. We chose it. He's giving us what we want. We want a life without His protection. We want a life without His life. We want to have it our own way, and we don't choose to walk in the paths of righteousness by which there can be peace. Do you know what makes this possible? What it says in Psalm 110, verse 1? It says that in the day of Christ's power, it says, the people shall come forth voluntarily. God won't make you choose this kingdom. He won't. This kingdom has rules and laws with one purpose in mind: that you would love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You can't get to the no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no death, no sorrow without that rule. It's an impossibility. It says, neither shall they learn war anymore. That's a great thing too. We don't have it on this list. But neither shall they learn war anymore. They shall beat their swords, right? The plowshares, their spears, and the pruning hooks. No more war. God the protector is protecting us. It'll be nice when we can live in a kingdom, in a world, where you don't have to worry about what somebody's going to do to you, to your family, or to your kids. We're not there today, guys. But it'll be nice when it's that way, isn't it? Won't it? Is that good news? That you can have peace? That you can have rest with Him? That there'll be a new heavens and a new earth? That God will be all and in all? Not some, all in all? Awesome. And then, of course, He existed before the world. So interesting to note, the Bible begins with God as Creator. In the beginning, God. And you come to the end of the book, and He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Now, do you like these things?
Yeah.
Are these things awesome? Is each section necessary? What if we just took a couple of these out? Would that be all right? We'll just talk about this, but we won't go here. Is that okay with you?
No.
I mean, it's not just about what happens with you. You want the full picture?
Oh, yeah.
You want it. God does too. Now here's what's so interesting about this. Each of these things is important. And each of these things is to be remembered, and it is celebrated on God's celebrations. The book of Leviticus 23 tells us of a Sabbath, which what? The Sabbath day reminds us of what? God is all-powerful. 6 days God made the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day He rested. You only know that to be true because He told you. And you believe Him to be the Creator. You'll never keep the Sabbath if you don't believe that God created the heavens and earth in 6 days, and He blessed and sanctified and made holy the seventh day. The seventh day doesn't hold any meaning if you don't believe that. But it is interesting that He has that. Sabbath. Yeah. Please. The second feast that He talks about, that's a weekly feast. And you know, one of the things, when we talk about rest and peace, Hebrews chapter 4 talks about this in a way, not only in terms of resting on the seventh day, which it does in verses 9 and 10, But it also talks about a greater rest that we have in Christ. Did you know that when Christ returns, there's going to be a 1,000-year reign of Christ and His saints? When Satan will be bound? Right there. You remember that millennium. Every week, that there is a 1,000 years coming when it's going to be really sweet. When those who are resurrected, when He returns, come. Passover. Passover is the second feast. Christ our Passover has been slain for us. Right? Therefore, let us keep the feast. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. Not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleaven of sincerity and truth. The unleaven of sincerity and truth. Repent. Believe and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. When did the Holy Spirit come? Pentecost. The next feast He tells you to celebrate. When the first fruits, and even when He had them, the loaves baked with leaven, they were still accepted on behalf of the one who brought it about. There's a counting of weeks here. Does anybody remember? How many weeks? From the 7. And when did it begin? The wave sheaf. On the morrow after the Sabbath. Can anybody remember something quite significant that happened after Christ died on Passover on the morrow after the Sabbath? Resurrection. He was resurrected on that day. Is that amazing? God did it perfectly according to His feasts. He had Christ resurrected. You count 50 days and then they received the resurrection power, the Spirit of God. Awesome. Awesome things. Jesus is coming. Feast of Trumpets. Right? When does Christ come? He shall descend, right? With a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God will sound, and He shall return. He shall come to reward His saints and to put down His enemies. He is doing an awesome work. The Feast of Trumpets, celebrating. Do you realize, saints, that we have a promise in 1 Thessalonians 4 that when He comes and when He, the trumpet sounds, the last trump sounds, that we will rise to meet Him in the air. It says, the dead in Christ, those who are asleep, rise first. And those who are alive and remain will rise up to meet Him in the air. What will that day like be like to see Him face to face? That's an awesome day. An awesome day of promise. How about Jesus coming and giving the earth back to His own people, His saints? How about Jesus coming back and establishing His kingdom and cleaning up the mess, healing it, having a river go forth through this earth that produces life, and that it says wherever the river flows, the creatures live again? Because at the end of Revelation, after the judgments, it says every sea creature will be dead. But when Christ establishes His kingdom, He says they're all going to live again. Wherever my river goes, they will live. God is going to put true life here because our high priest will be here. Our king and our high priest will be here. So we have atonement. He became sin for us, that we could be the righteousness of God. Eternal life, the great time, the great harvest at the end, Feast of Tabernacles, also known as the Feast of Ingathering at the end, when He gathers up all the harvest. And He tells us of this time of the end when all people will stand before Him and He will pronounce a judgment. And He says, as He said many times in His parables, that they'll all be gathered before Him and He'll gather them on His right hand and His left, or as wheat and tares. And the wheat, they will be given life. The tares will be thrown into the fire. And the wheat
are as the children of God, and they shall shine as the sun. They'll be glorified with Him. And when all people have been judged, it says, the last enemy to be destroyed is death. Death itself. How did we get death? How did we get death? Sin. And how do you get rid of death? You get rid of sin. And then you can have this dwelling of new heavens and a new earth, of God being all in all. No more crying, no more tears, that He existed before the world began and He will exist forevermore. The promise in Daniel 2 is He will never give His kingdom into the hands of other people. He did that. He did that on this earth for a hope for you. To give us choice. Children have the right of choice. And as Bill said, the world has become what it's become because of choices that people make. And He lets people make the choices. And He lets it play out because He knows He's going to judge in the end anyway, granting eternal life to those who are His and those who will believe in Him and follow His ways, and putting to death and destroying all enemies who won't, who reject His ways. So we have this eighth day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The eighth day. The new beginning. The feast that begins it all over again. Because as much as we can look at this as a completed plan, the life that I think we all really want to begin is found on that eighth day. Now some people say, hey David, you're kind of crazy. You're going back to these old Jewish things. Right? Why do you celebrate these feasts? Because the feasts are God's feasts and they reveal to us His plans. Every one of those days is important as celebrations. How important do you think it was to the people who signed the Declaration of Independence and the people who lived in this country at that time that they commemorate July 4th? Right? How important was it? It's a pretty big deal, wouldn't you say? We declared our independence. It's a marker of, you could say, this nation, this kingdom. What do you think the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords thinks about what His days are about? See, that's what motivates me. There is no reason to forget the gospel when you go through and celebrate the major events of the gospel with God every year. Think about it. How long would it be? The more you forget, or the more you let go, you let slide things that are in God's mind, chances are you're just going to fall further and further away. And somebody will say to you, what is the gospel? You're like, need to think about that. I'm not quite sure. Test 19 to 20 people in a room what the gospel is and have no answer? To not know what to say? To not know about this? To not know about this hope? I don't ever want us to forget. That's why we do it. To remember what God is doing through Jesus Christ. To remember the gospel. To remember the things that are important to God. Because if we stay focused on these things, then we will have this in mind to be the driving force in our lives. We never want to forget. What is it that drives you, that motivates you, that gives you hope in a world that is messed up? What is it that causes you to get up and to praise the Almighty God? What is it that causes you to keep pressing on in the face of all opposition? What is it when you look at solving problems in this world and you realize the world's not interested in solutions? It's that God has the solution in place. And because He is the all-powerful God, that what He has foreordained, it's going to come to pass. You get a chance to be a part of it. But it's not just about knowing these things. It's believing them. Do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the message that God created all things and man rejected Him? And that we, through our sins, have rejected Him? Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Do you believe He died to set you free? Do you celebrate the freedom that you have in Christ? The Sharpens, Scott and Carolyn, opened up their home to everybody in this room to say, let's celebrate the freedom we have in Christ. And I know that's huge. That's why I'm mentioning it. It's a huge thing to do, to say, you guys are all welcome. But this is worth celebrating, isn't it? It's worth celebrating the freedom that we have in Christ. We celebrate these things because this is what life is. Celebrating with God the things that He is doing, the things that He is going to bring to pass, the gospel and good news that He has. So you ever say, why do we celebrate these things at Rock Valley? Why do we put them on the calendar? Why do we have meetings on these days? Because they celebrate the steps of the gospel of God. The plan of salvation for us personally and for every person who lives on this earth. So we're going to be talking more about this, but understand, it's not about even the day itself. It's about what God teaches you on these days. To remember this, to think about this, to go forward with this on your heart and mind. That's why you can even read the Apostle Paul saying in Acts, I think it's chapter 20, he says, I must by all means celebrate this coming feast in Jerusalem. Well after his conversion, well after, because he understood this. The blinders were gone when he read the Old Testament and he knew of the glory of God that was revealed in the Scriptures. So when he says that, I feel Paul and I say, yeah, I must too. So think about these things. If you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer them later. Thank you for your participation today. I hope you like that. And I appreciate everybody giving some answers. And let's worship this great God.